And good Friday morning, Getaway Friday, June the 18th, 2021, 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly ministry of community Christian fellowship here on WWGH Radio. Remember, this show can be heard live every Friday morning from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m., repeated on Sunday morning from 8:10 a.m. till 9 a.m., and then every Wednesday from 3:10 until 4 p.m. Program archives can be found on the website, WWGH1071.com. Go to Program Archives. First name under there should be The Pastor Spot. Click on that, and you can see shows dating back to March of 2018. Also, the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service is now here on the station every Sunday starting at 12:15. So tune in to that. Now I will turn it over to the pastor, host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Good morning. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship, here with Scott Spears, and Frank Robinson is with us this morning also. And what a beautiful day it is. Pure rain.
Pure rain.
And you know, I hate to admit this. I don't like the damage sometimes, but I've always loved storms.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. I'm just a storm lover. Maybe I should have been a storm chaser, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our number there is 740-494-2222. You can also reach us at prospectccf.com, and we are also on Facebook. So good to be with you today. Today is a day that I've dedicated to good news. And I've got a lot of good news things I want to talk about that involve the church and different things. And I just think it would be, we focus on a lot of negative, don't we? I mean, not just us in general, but as a populace and as people. I mean, we've talked before that, why is there so much negative news? Well, it's because guess who gets the ratings? The negative news, right? And I don't think it all has to be put negative. As a matter of fact, we're not even supposed to be negative. God doesn't want us to be a negative people. God wants us to be a positive people that love his message and love his free gift of salvation and wish the best and hope the best for everyone. I'll give you a little background of my week. I don't usually take any time off. It's rarely do I. And Shirley and I took 2 days. And if it's not advertisement, can I plug some places?
Oh, sure.
Oh, good. Anyway, we had the pleasant experience of Monday and Tuesday night going over to Hickory Grove Campground in Big Island. And, wow, that place, they have put so much into it. It's not the place that I remember it being. And we were so pleasantly surprised by it that I wouldn't mind leaving my camper there all year, to be honest with you. It was just very clean and friendly, and it was just a really nice, it gave me a chance to get away and breathe a little bit. Shirley and I harassed each other on a few games of putt-putt golf, and we just had a blast. And I actually got a little fishing in, and just really was able to unwind. And you know what's nice about going during the week is when you go during the week, there's not so many people there, and you can kind of breathe a little. But we got hit pretty hard with a storm there Monday night. It was pretty hard. And but it was, like I said, I like storms. It wasn't anything bad. Anyway, another thing I want to talk about that is pretty neat. Yesterday I had the opportunity to go with my daughter Kelly. Now tomorrow is the market days out on Fulton Creek Road, which is at the corner of Fulton Creek and State Route 257, which would be south of Prospect. And Fulton Creek Market Days, there's a lot of vendors that set up, and with crafts and just all kinds of things. We have, I know Pawpaw Run Farms does their fresh baked bread, and they have every kind. Oh, it's amazing the stuff she does. That's Mrs. Pasma does that. And but there's so many different things there, that the crafts that people do and things they bring. Really nice, really neat thing. But what made me think of that to bring that up was yesterday I rode with my daughter Kelly, who operates that, to Mechanicsburg, and we went to this place called Hemisphere Coffees. You ever heard of them?
Hmm.
It's craft coffee. You know, you go to It's a specialty coffee when you go to small places. There's a lot of places selling it. You know, I call it the expensive coffees, right? But anyway, this is one of the neatest little places I went to. And first of all, the smell of coffee will put me in a good mood anyway. And they've got a little metal warehouse and a nice little tiny storefront they just put in. But they operate everything there. And what's really neat is the owners of it, he was a worked for a mission board and traveled all over the world. And that's where he got this idea of doing the coffee. And the reasoning behind it is, not only do they like doing it, but the farmers in all of these countries don't have a tendency to get much of the money. You know what I mean? There's that middleman thing. So he decided that they would start roasting coffee here, and he literally buys direct from the farm. And they're in Papua New Guinea, they're in Uganda, they're all over the place, you know, all these different places in South America and around, the whole list of them. And they get their beans directly from, which is nice because, you know, you hear about that there's a lot of different programs out there that, that try to do that. But, you know, I've talked before on the station about how so many people in the church and how so many church organizations do so much good around the world. And I really wish that we heard more about it. And it's not just always on an associational level or a denominational level. A lot of times it's individuals. And this would be the case of an individual that is literally making an impact on farmers in these poorer countries and doing something good for them and bringing it here and marketing their product. Another thing they had there that was kind of neat, I brought some with me today, and this is from Uganda. They get the big pods of cacao in and full of those cacao beans, and they slow cook them down, and just add a little bit of water, and it's a tiny bit of sweetener of some kind. The one I brought had a natural sweetener in it that I've actually never heard of. It's called what do they call that stuff? Can't think of the name of it, or maybe I can't pronounce it. Anyway, it's a natural sweetener that's in it, but they have they just cook this stuff down, and that's all they do, and they pour it out in flats and make it into bars and sell it that way. And oh my, you're talking about a straight dark chocolate that has no additives in it. But just some neat things that you see different people doing. And I know that at the market days where Kelly's at with her thing, her whole goal behind that, you know, some people have said, you know, what's your personal market strategy? Do you make much money doing that? And what they've missed about all this is that Kelly is not doing this for the money. Now, they say that anyone that doesn't do it for the money is the quickest way to go broke there is. But she wanted a place. She's always loved crafting and doing different things and marketing things that way. She wanted a place where local people could come together for care and fellowship. That was her main goal. Not making money, not making some huge venue. And that's what it's turned into. A lot of people coming forth, bringing their products, and different churches, from different churches she knows people, and they come together, and they enjoy their time together, and it's just a nice day for everyone. And that was her purpose for going there yesterday, was to buy, I think she bought 25 pounds of coffee. And my wife Shirley does the usually does the coffee and hot dogs and whatnot and those kind of things, or they'll have a vendor come in. But it's kind of nice, and you know, stuff's done by with a food by donation type thing, and it's just great. People really enjoy it. But there's just so many good things that are going on. And even in the church, Frank and I were talking about this earlier, we hear so much negative. And I really want to encourage people not to go down that road. If you talk to most people in the church today, and this is sad, and maybe most is wrong too, but if you talk to a number of people within the church, oh, this is it. You know, the church could never be in worse shape. We're not even going to be allowed to be in the building in the next 2 years. Blah, blah. They see all this thing stuff coming down, and, you know, oh, this is the tail end of the day of the church and the age of the church. First of all, I want to remind everyone that in talking to Peter, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, if the church is the body of Christ, he's saying that, you know what, the church is a church that's going to stay that way, and God's going to make the decision what will happen to the church. The other thing is that I hear from people that, you know, if you really look at the people that are truly committed to a life with Christ and doing what we're called to do, to be that living and breathing Christian that does what God wants us to do each and every day, that loves people, that does the things we should. You know, we're only down to about 5% of the population. And then I have to remind people that, you know, that's nothing, right? But no, it is. 5% of our population is, what, 17.5 mil, something like that? That's a lot of brothers and sisters around to help you out, isn't it? So why aren't we networking more and working together to do that and encourage each other and pick each other up? We've done a lot less, had a lot more active things done in this country with 1% or 2% of the population when they get busy. So I feel in good company with 5%. And I believe that if we're doing good and we're doing what God has called us to do, he is going to bless that. My nephew David, oh, speaking of which, we've been praying for my brother David. My brother David is out of ICU, the vent's out, and he is recovering. And praise God for that. But his son David has a church in, you ever hear of Houghton, Michigan?
I don't think so.
Yeah, aren't we just small people?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know. Houghton is this beautiful city, town, city. It's a college town up in the Upper Peninsula, way up north over, I don't think it's too far from Wisconsin, is it? But anyway, it's in Copper County, and there are copper mines everywhere. And actually, they had some torrential rains that opened up the ground of those mines a couple years ago. It was a mess. But it's a beautiful place. When you're coming into the town, they have a huge drawbridge, beautiful old decorative drawbridge that lets the boats through, and just a gorgeous place. But my nephew, David, I think it's 10 years ago, give or take a year, started pastoring this church called Houghton Baptist Church. And they literally have changed the whole face and dynamic of that church. I think they probably had about 70 people when he came. And they started reaching out to people with love. And Love Inc., which we have here in town, Love Inc. actually moved onto their premises for some time and held their offices there. I'm not sure they're still there or not, but anyway, they still work actively with Love Inc. They work actively with other organizations to help people, and that they provide, you know, food and shelter when they can, and furniture, and it's just a constant thing of reaching out and loving people all over that town, all over that city. And the church has grown tremendously. And what's really nice about it is as that church grows, it appears to me that their ministry is growing. In other words, it's not just people coming to a place and going home. It's people that are coming and getting plugged in and going out and doing the same things that they do. And it's really having a huge impact up there, which is fantastic. And then I want to talk a little bit about our church, Community Christian Fellowship, and some of the things that have been going on there. Prior to coming in here, Frank and I got wet.
Yes, we did.
We took, along with Kelly and Lauren and Jordan and Titus, took two vehicle loads of nice stuff we collected for Voice of Hope Pregnancy Ministry in town. And I forget what Kelly said. There was like 40 boxes of diapers and then baby clothes and nice toys. We did that drive in Prospect over a couple of weeks and took that. They're such a great program. They truly are. They're reaching out to moms that no one else is reaching out to, soon-to-be moms. And so in helping that ministry is great. Our summer lunch program started at the church, and we actually they were putting a new roof on the church this week, so our mission house is behind it. So Frank and others served from the mission porch, and we had served bag lunches they could take with them. And we had, I know one day there were 30, the next day 19, and I think the next day after that there were, I don't remember the number.
About 14,
you know, which is pretty good for, those are kids that need lunch. So those are good things that you do. Last week we had a day where we gave everyone free flip-flops. Had a huge box of flip-flops, just come on the porch and grab two pairs of pieces. But I'm not saying that to pat ourselves on the back. What I'm saying that for is, along with all the other ministries and things that go on, it's about helping people and meeting the need where they're at.
Absolutely.
And Frank, I think you'd agree with me that because maybe it's not a popular thing, maybe it's not good news.
You know, that's one aspect, and you can discuss it with whoever later, but highlighting one ministry a week that might be so small nobody knows about it on the radio program. Just speak for a few minutes about it.
About that particular ministry.
Yes, I had a chance to go down to Lebanon and work with
an organization
called Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And this is a nationwide group. And what they do, they identify and they verify kids who do not have something as simple as a bed. And we all take that for granted. And they had two shifts of 3 hours, of 40 people a shift. And when we first got there, I saw this massive amount of lumber. I thought, oh, this is going to be a terrible day. They needed 30 beds, and out of the 30 beds, 10 had to be bunk beds. We processed more beds than what they've had since they started their organization. We did 50 beds that day. Now, when they go in, they set up the bed, they deliver the mattress, they deliver sheets for the bed, a blanket for the bed, pillowcase and pillow, and they set it up. And nobody's paid for that.
And you know what's really interesting, Frank, is that, most people probably never think about this, but it's something that I've found from working with young people and different people out in the public, is that it's amazing how many kids are sleeping on a floor, mm-hmm. or three or four kids sleeping on an old couch that don't even have a bed. You know, one thing that I always had growing up was my bed. Didn't you have a bed?
Oh, sure.
It was my bed.
Sure.
You had your bed, didn't you?
I had my bed.
A lot of kids today don't have a bed. But once again, there's a ministry that you would never hear about if Frank hadn't brought it up. And these are just good Christian people going out and saying, what can we do to show the love of God to those people around us? And there's so much of that that goes on that that people miss. And I want people to understand, you know, if you have a good heart and you're out there doing what you're supposed to do and you're loving people like God has called you to be, you're not alone.
No.
You're not alone, and this is just two clowns sitting here, two guys sitting here talking about what we know of things and what we do with things. I know when the pandemic hit, one of the first things we got together was, when everybody was staying at home, was we started making meals and taking them out to shut-ins and delivering them. And it was no big deal. We just did it. I mean, you know, God provides the means, and you just do it. And I'm sure there were a lot of other places around Marion and other places that were doing it too, but you don't hear much about that. I remember it's been after Katrina, sometime after Katrina, a couple years. I remember this big deal about how Brad Pitt had gone in and built like 15 houses in New Orleans, and how great that was. That isn't a hair drop in a bucket compared to what a lot of groups do that no one ever knows. They don't get the recognition because nobody really cares. I mean, what do you care about what the First Baptist Church of Tuskegee does? I mean, nobody, you know what I mean? And because all of those places are doing those things, I was getting a newsletter for a long time. I get too many newsletters, and I got to let them go after a while. And I was getting one from up in church, our associations up in Alaska. And it was amazing, the outreach that was going on up there. There's so many poor people in Alaska. People, you know, just don't realize that. And, you know, the pregnancy ministries, just like Voice of Hope up the street, that reach out to those women that have nobody. And their husbands or whoever they need to reach out to. You know, people that, you know, counseling and struggling. You know, a lot of people just need general counseling, and they can't always afford or have insurance to cover some of this stuff. And the lines are so backed up at some of the free places, it's nice that they can come in and talk to pastor. And or talk to someone on staff and just, you know, walk them through a bad day, walk them through the death of a grandmother or a mother or all of those kind of things. And then you network with you even end up with funeral directors that, you know, you can trust to be good-hearted, kind of people that aren't going to fleece somebody. And, you know, you begin to end up networking with all kinds of people. I get random phone calls from people saying, hey, pastor, we've got A, B, or C. Is there somebody in your church that could use it before we do something with it? Pastor, then my wife decided she wanted a new washer and dryer and because hers don't match, and she wants a new set, and I've got really good running ones. You know, before they take them back on the truck, could someone use one? And as you do that, and if you learn those things, where those things are, it really, really helps. And then I think there's always the aspect of it, too, of reaching out and trying to help people, offering them the opportunity. We've got a lady in our church that is more than willing to sit down with someone and do a rough budget if they're struggling financially and need utilities paid, and, you know, sit down and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to judge you. Let's just look at what you're doing and see where maybe we can keep you from going through this again. Those are important helps also. Knowing when to not do too much. Recognizing, you know, true needs with people. There's one elderly lady I know right now that I talk to her periodically. If I don't, she's calling. But truth is, God, she just needs someone to talk to every now and then because she's getting old. Her family's not in the best way, and she just needs encouragement or someone to tell her they care about her and pray with her every now and then. And, you know, see, that's the thing. That stuff is going on every day in every town in America. And I don't want people to lose hope that everything's doom and gloom when they're not out there, because they are. And they are people that care. I know that when I get together with fellow people of faith like ourselves, and we start talking about the needs of people, and I feel the passion coming from those people. I mean, it's true passion. It's not, what goody two shoes things can we do today to make ourselves look good? And, you know, that's a wonderful place to be in, to know those people. I've been rambling on. You have anything, Scott?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I do think about this idea of good news versus bad news. And it's an interesting discussion. And we have talked about before that a lot of times it's ratings or circulation driven. But it's really fascinating because yesterday the big story here in Marion was Judge Warner resigned. Mm-hmm. And in his resignation letter, he blamed the media for his verdict. That the media had covered him too much, and because he was a judge, that influenced the judge who sentenced him. And the truth of the matter is, there are two things I'd just like to point out about the media in general. Yeah, ratings is part of it. There's no doubt about it. But here's why it's that way. The reason is, the media is a public service. It's overlooked by a federal agency, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission. But it's one of the few services, public services, that is not funded by the government. They say, well, you got to...
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, but here's the problem
well,
with that.
Well, some of it is. PBS is.
PBS is. And this is why PBS can do... And this is why they can do good news, because they don't have to go out schlepping for money to get all these people to come in. And when you're schlepping for money, if you're trying to draw the biggest crowd, what do people say? Number one question when they want to support or sponsor a station, how many people are listening? How many people?
PBS doesn't have that problem. There's a lot of bad stuff out there for being publicly funded.
Well,
pretty negative. I have to turn them off when I turn them on.
Well, but on PBS, no network could operate without commercials.
No
network could operate without, because you're making them operate as a private business, yet federally ran.
But I think you're right. It's just money driven.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's, but I think it's also idealism driven.
Well, this is the other point I wanted to make about that, is that one of the things is if I own an ice cream stand, if that's my private business, and if we're going to consider the media to be a private business, you don't come to me for fried chicken, because I'm not a fried chicken place. I'm an ice cream stand. The media, in most cases, is trying to keep people informed about information that heretofore they would not hear about. And news, by definition, is that which is out of the ordinary. So that's essentially the I think the people look to the media to be good news, and we can do good stories, there's no doubt about it. We can do good programs, but I'm not sure why people look to the media to be the uplift, because I mean we're ice cream.
I think they want to know what's going on, so they want to hear those good stories, and you do look to the media to know what's going on. Hey, if I want to know what the weather's going to be, I turn on the Weather Channel. I want to know what's going on nationally, I have to go to some outlet that'll tell me what's going on nationally. Worldwide, the same thing. Internationally. But one thing that we have gotten to a point in this country, and I don't think that it can be argued, because it's just a fact and a fact and a fact. More than 90% of the people that go through journalism school, when they come out, they are either center left or left. That's their ideology. Why that is, I'm not going to even get into that. But that is a fact. They are. The polls show that they are. So if those are the people going into media, it's very hard, and people used to be able to do it a lot better, but it's very hard to have to give news, to give information, to have a show without having your internal bias come through. So I think that we see some of that too. But I think this morning, in understanding all that, why the media does this, I hear so much about the media and what they do. And here's the thing that I want to encourage people to do today, is to look beyond the media. Look to other outlets. Look at things that are out there. There's a little magazine called Voice of the Martyrs. It's free. Doesn't cost a dime. You can go online and get that, and that'll come to you every month. It'll tell you everything that's going on all over the world with people that are trying to do what's right and what's going on with them and those things. And there's also some very uplifting stories in there about people that stand up in the face of unbelievable circumstances, things that will make us feel like, wow, and I whine, you know, that kind of thing. But beyond that, there truly is good news out there. We just have to understand, you know, look for some of those places that are doing good things. You know, if I were looking for a church to go to, unfortunately today, a lot of people look for a church that says, okay, when I get to this church, is there going to be some kind of an uplifting message? Am I going to enjoy the music? Are they going to have plenty of entertainment for myself and my kids? And that's some of the grounds in which they look for. And I think that if I were looking today, I would encourage people to look for a church that not only is preaching the truth, but you can see the love in their heart and you can feel the love in their heart. And you look at not always what's going on in that service, but what happens when they leave that service. Because, see, the mission field is the minute you walk out the door of the church, and it's also in the church. So it's not a thing of, well, we go to church Sunday morning, and then we go, if we even carry a Bible anymore, most people don't, carry a Bible, I'll put it away, it'll grow dust till next week, and I'll come back and I'll have this wonderful day. But I think that when you can start plugging in and doing what God has called you to do, you begin to, in your life, feel so much more purpose for what's going on. And plus, you get such a better handle on your community and the community needs and what people truly go through. There's a reason why so many of the churches are having things like Celebrate Recovery for people with addictions. And all these different groups that they host, divorce recovery groups. Why are those being hosted by churches so much? The reason they're being hosted by churches, because the churches have the compassion in their heart. They're showing the compassion that these people need help. If they're trying to do it for money, first of all, I can tell you this. If you were looking at a business model in a church, and they said, okay, we want this church to grow and have plenty of means and all those things, and here's how we're going to do it. You're going to offer a program for addicts that don't have any money. You're going to offer a program for unwed mothers. We're going to offer a program for people that are pregnant and have no means. You're going to offer a program for all these different areas, and you're going to look at it and say, we'll be broke in a month. But see, that's not the point. The reason people are doing it is because, you know, we are told in Scripture that pure religion, true religion, is loving widows and orphans and keeping yourself undefiled by the world. And that's what it's about. And I think there's so much of that going on that we're missing and not seeing. And that was kind of the purpose of what I want to talk about this morning. We're not seeing it, but I want to encourage you people and Christians, it is out there. Find it and plug into it. It can't... See, the thing about a fulfilled Christian life is not a life that things are about me. It's a life that things are about putting others first. And if it's about you, you're going to want to entertain, you're going to want to feel good, you want everyone to tell you how great you are all the time. Everyone's going to love the great new outfit you're wearing on Sunday that you can show off. Those are things that are about you. We were never meant to sit in our ivory towers and say, oh, how God has blessed me. If God's truly blessed you, you're dirty, Scott. You're going to get dirty. You're getting in the trenches because you're taking that blessing that he's given you and you're desiring for other people to know that. And you're going to reach those children that need it. You're going to reach those elderly people that are sitting at home with no one to talk to. You know why those, and I've talked about this before, do you know what we've talked about on the show, do you know why so many of the I call them the charlatan ministries, where they go in and clean people's bank accounts out, you know, older ladies, $3 at a time, do you know why they're so successful? Because there's a whole lot of lonely old people sitting at home and they think that's the only friend they got. How sad is that?
But, you know, do you believe there's, when we look at these people, regardless of how much money they raise or how much money they make or so on and so forth, do you believe there's something to, in all fields, charisma?
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that, honestly, is what attracts certain people, not in every case, but certain people to things, is that, because I've known a lot of really... when it comes to people in all kinds of ministries who I don't even think they had a church, but they were very charismatic.
I think that you're going to find a huge difference between the religion and the church as the body of Christ. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's interesting. If God intended that person to be charismatic, first of all, charismatic usually brings focus to you, and the focus is supposed to be deflected from you to God. The second thing is, he chose the Apostle Paul to lead the entire ministry to the Gentiles, to basically write the bulk of the New Testament, and to be our guide for everyday living. And he's the one that went on three missionary journeys, okay? Last one was definitely the shortest. But he went on three missionary journeys in the region planting churches. Paul had the charisma and the physical beauty of the Hunchback of Notre Dame. But that's who God put in place. I think a lot of the charisma in ministry today has come from our own doing, has come from how are we best going to get a man the message across. You know, a lot of times, if you look at corporate CEOs, most of the time, unless they're self-made guys that brought the company up their self from the beginning, and then you're going to get some little guys like Ray Kroc or some of the others that have been out there, but you're going to get these guys that are physically fit, they're handsome, they're well-cut, they're a corporate, they look like a corporate mogul, they have that charismatic, that so they rise up through the ranks, and that's what the world expects. Well, the church has adopted that and said, you know what, this is going to be, we're going to attract people through this man. And I think that that's where we made our biggest mistake, because we're supposed to attract the world to Jesus Christ through our heart and what comes out of us. See, the physically, you can take a person that's physically unattractive, and they can become so beautiful in the light they're supposed to be. And that even comes with, you know, it's a funny story. Guys will tell you that, you know, sometimes the most beautiful woman that everyone wants to marry turns out to be so ugly you can't stand them in a year.
Well, it's interesting you say this, because to be honest with you, I have always found, no matter what field it is, the beautiful people have no charisma. I think they have it more difficult. If I see somebody who has... have you ever noticed...
I don't know if I get along, not from the people that I see out there.
Well, honest to goodness...
in front of the camera.
Well, no, they're there, but I'm just saying, Columbus, we'll just sit here and say Columbus Television, because these are out front people. Where's the Jimmy Crumbs? Where are the Flippo the Clowns? They were not beautiful. Flippo was an overweight guy who had curly hair.
That's my point. They're not out there now.
Right, but
they were.
But they're also in decline. These organizations are in... I don't think people do want to watch the beautiful people. I think they miss... Why they look so fondly back on...
Maybe they want to see... Maybe in their heart they want to see people they can relate to more.
Well, I just... Like
maybe a little... With a twisted nose or be a little overweight.
Well, it's just people... I've noticed if I see somebody who's dressed... I mean, dress does attract you, but I'm not talking about expensive clothes. That doesn't attract me if you're in a $10,000 suit. If you're dressed in an odd outfit... fit. Jimmy Crumb, that'll attract my eye, and 9 times out of 10 you will find that that person does have some kind of unique charisma, which probably drove them to dress that way, because they are a different breed. People who, you know, the women who are the straight blonde hair and the nice outfit, I don't see any charisma there. The guys who have the red tie and the button-up suit and the nice haircut, I don't see any charisma there.
Yeah, I think that in our churches we've gone for the more cut-looking person that has that. And here's what's really funny. I get a kick out of this, because I've had a friend of mine was talking to me about this. Some of these guys really... don't have the charisma and really are not anything dynamic, but they've been labeled dynamic because of their look and their dress and the confidence that they put out. And that, to me, is scary. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster.
He wasn't a good guy at all, and I'm not saying that, but Leroy Jenkins was not a beautiful man, but boy, he had charisma. He'd stick out in a room if you saw him. There's no doubt about it.
And he had a certain, I'll be honest with you, Leroy Jenkins had a certain demographic that he appealed to also.
Well, when I interviewed him, and I got to interview him several times, and I interviewed him face-to-face, when he came in a room,
he was there.
And the attention went to him in the room. He had that thing that the room changed when he walked in. Now, he used his abilities for questionable things, but he did attract attention. He got your attention, but yeah.
But see, there's a good example of what the precursor was to a lot of these church organizations going towards the charismatic person or the person that looks good building an organization. And that's not how God called people. Do we remember that Jesus called dirty fishermen that were unlearned to be his disciples? And a tax collector. Huh? How about that?
Yeah.
You know, these are the, he called these people for a reason. Because in true ministry, you have to learn to humble yourself. And when you're being pumped up there is looking, oh man, I go to so-and-so's church. I tell people, I better never hear somebody say, I go to Steve Whitaker's church. If they want to say they go to Community Christian Fellowship, that's great. That's where you come. You're a fellowship of believers. It's not my church. And I don't want to be the center of it. When you say, hey, do you listen to so-and-so on this or watch so-and-so on this? And you don't even know the name of their church, but boy, you know who they are. And that's a dangerous place to be in, because what comes before the fall, Scott?
Well, your way up.
Pride.
Well,
pride,
yeah,
comes before,
yeah,
the fall. And there's too much of an opening for pride. Now, I even struggle. The Lord has given me this wonderful gift, and we're about out of time. But what that gift is and it feels like a curse at times. If I begin to get a big head, I get some kind of a kick right in the seat of the pants. Maybe I'm a person that it would be easy for me to be that way. I don't know. But God has always brought me back to being humble if I start to think too highly of myself.
You know, this would be an interesting show, a whole hour. But with 2 minutes left, you know what's interesting? I think people get that all confused, though. To me, it's not the person who feels they have a big head. To me, a lot of times that's just confidence that comes off as arrogance. But really, the person just feels confident in their job. The fear to me in that is always fear of failure. Are people paying attention? When you start asking that, then you're in trouble. It's not the people who feel good.
And I know we're out of time. If we're surrendered to God and we give him, or if we daily ask for his guidance, his leading in what we're saying and doing, we don't have to carry that fear, because we know that we're trusting God to help us to walk through that and to do that. And the thing is, it's real easy to... We don't want to reflect on ourselves so much as, here's what I'll say, final words. If love is coming out of your heart and a desire to care for and help and put others before yourself, you're probably in a good place as a leader. And if it's not, at least in the church, I don't think you should be a leader. And I'll leave with that. That sound fair?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, 45 seconds left. Do you want to let people know this show repeats on Sunday morning, 8:10 until 9 a.m., Wednesday, 3:10 until 4 p.m., and the Sunday service will be on this Sunday starting at 12:15 on this station. And remember, check out the website, wwgh1071.com, for all kinds of archive program. And also, you can listen live on the net at wwgh1071.com. And don't forget to download the free TuneIn app. It's absolutely free. You can download it on your tablet, your smartphone, anything, and listen to this station live anywhere in the world at no cost to you.
God bless you guys.
Have a great week. Be back next Friday.
See you in church.
What was that?
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing.
And for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here in Marion, Ohio, on a station named after Warren G. Harding, just a quarter mile from the Harding Memorial, where the president is buried, is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. Jim, I can't tell you how happy I am that you are joining us today via the airwaves.
Same here. I'm very happy. I thank you very much for this opportunity to get this story out.
What do you want to see happen from this point out? This is now the truth.
It is the truth. And this is what I wanted. My goal is, I want to see all the books rewritten. I want everything rewritten. I would like everyone to take back what they said. I want to say no, 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 no. And that makes sound a little weird, but I just want to throw it in their face. I'm just so tired of these people. And there's still people I